hitting what could have been two home runs. He was robbed of one, obviously, by Tatis, and then hitting a big grand slam, even in the loss. And I know that there are a lot of Met fans who were torn here, especially after seeing what Vientos did last night, reminding you of what he did a year ago. It's not going to be an easy decision, but if the Mets do decide to move on from Mark Vientos, there are going to be some blowback from that with his potential, at the very least, offensively.
Yeah, listen, that's going to give you pause here. And that was a fun game. That felt like that's the kind of game that gets you ready for October. That was good. I mean, you prefer to win the game, but it was a good game. Listen, I don't think that the Mets have anybody that I would view as completely untouchable. Maybe one of the pitchers, but I haven't really seen him yet. In terms of the position guys that we've been exposed to, nobody that I would not trade for the right part. But really, the truth of the matter is I'm actually looking to try to hold on to all of them. The problem is you can't. And there's only so many roster spots. There's other guys in the minors who are making their way up that are very much in the pipeline here. You gotta like Mauricio. You know, we know what happened last time. We know what's happened so far. So while it's a great moment, and Vientos, he can sting it, man. He can obviously swing the bat here. But you know, if I'm thinking big picture, long term, a trade that could. By the way, I mean the Mets are on the World Series line now. If there's a trade out there that I think can push them even closer, Vientos is the guy that I would deal, and I like him. I just don't trust him enough. There's too many deficiencies in the other parts of his game, but when he barrels it, he rips it, man.
But so here's the thing. These decisions are not easy.
No, they're not.
And it can't be, well, oh, we had a big game last night in the home run. Like, the Mets' thought process from David Stearns in the front office has been one that they're evaluating every player, every game, every year, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously, even before he got here, the Mets organization and some holdovers here that were under Billy Epler, maybe they're evaluating Vientos and what they think. And last year, I'm sure in many of their minds, was the aberration. And then Vientos solidified their initial thoughts with struggling this year. So you can't now go the other way just because he hit a grand slam last night and showed some promise and looked like he woke up a little bit. You have to make difficult decisions. And to get something, you've got to give something. And the Mets need to make a decision now on the Mauricio, Beatty, Vientos combination. Like, they just can't keep them all. Me, personally, I would not give up on Mauricio at all. Like, I would deem him untouchable. And you know me. I'm not a prospect hugger at all. He'd be the one guy I'm not. There's no trade, even Alcantara. Like, there's no trade I am willing to give up Mauricio for at this particular point. Yeah, there you go.
Man,
there's no.
He's awake. Dove hit a button. Yeah, it's 10:06. Dove is
still
with
sleeping.
Us.
Dove's
Thank
awake.
You, Dove.
There's no player out there or no trade that I see out there that would be worth giving up Mauricio. With Vientos, like, it's decision-making time. If you believe in him, then he wouldn't be on the radar, on the trailer. If you don't, regardless of him homering last night, like, you know the offensive potential is there, but they have to make their decision. And according to the reports, it sounds like they did that. Not that they're pushing him out, but if they needed to, let's say for Luis Robert, who also homered last night, and all of a sudden he's getting hot.
Uh-huh.
You're telling me a Vientos for Robert swap wouldn't make sense where one fits better than the other?
Listen, it would satisfy a need for the Mets. It would obviously get some money off the books for the White Sox, who are going nowhere fast. He's making about $20 million, Robert. We hit this yesterday. Yeah. Obviously, Vientos is making peanuts based on how much time he's put into the game. I'm not a big believer. I'm not a big fan of, like, looking at, this is not just specific to the Mets, but just a general thought process for me. Whether it's, you know, a three-game series or the week before the trade deadline, hey, let's see how we do. I'm not saying that there aren't circumstances that could, you know, push you to trading somebody, winning or losing. But in general terms, you kind of should know what you have and you kind of should know who you are before three game set or before the final five games, before the trade deadline, whatever that line of demarcation might be. And I have to think that the Mets have a pretty good feel for who Vientos is. And that is somebody who wasn't really ready to start the season, didn't seem incredibly motivated, didn't run hard. We've talked about this, the Miami series, didn't field well, will never be a very good third baseman. Although Wade Boggs willed himself into a competent third baseman. I'm not going to put a complete ceiling and say that he can't be decent, but he's never going to be plus.
Maybe he could be better at first.
Maybe, you know, obviously Pete's out there at some point. We'll have to see how long Pete is here. I just look at Mauricio. I don't think he's untouchable, but I see electricity in Mauricio, and that is electricity – I'm looking to hold on to.
Yeah.
You know, there's
such a control for you. Like, you got to do the math here.
I think that they will.
The potential, what he's shown, the athleticism, and the fact that he's under control for a while.
I'm with you, Sal. If the Mets make it, now they might not make another trade. And I know, listen, seeing Soto give up the game winner, you know, you're going to get a little hit or miss with him. He throws absolute gas. He's a little sloppy with the strike zone. I do like the move, but he's not going to be perfect. So the Mets need another bullpen arm. Everybody knows that. Most importantly, Stearns and Cohen knows that. So they'll get that. There is, I don't think that there's any circumstance where, I don't want to go nuts here, but strongly believe that there's almost no chance that somebody of somewhat prominence is not dealt. I think somebody's going to get traded. There's only so many slots.
You mean from the Mets?
Mets. And I don't think it's going to be Mauricio. I know it's not going to be Alvarez. You know, Acuna's value, I like him on the back of the roster, but I don't think he's got great value. Vientos might be the kind of guy who's got a little right-handed thump and, you know, a little first and third versatility. I don't see him being here 3, 4, 5 years. I don't.
And I would rather the Mets make their decision and live with the results, whatever it is. If Vientos goes on to be an offensive star somewhere else, so be it. Yeah. You felt like you, just the same way Sandy Alderson miscalculated, and he admitted this. We had him on the week that you were off. We were talking about David Wright and all that, but he admitted it with Daniel Murphy. Where that was the one he said he made a mistake. They didn't believe, they should have realized that Murphy's change was legit and he was going to be that offensive player moving forward. They didn't because they were going based off of the body of work and said, maybe the postseason was the aberration.
Mm-hmm. Which from a power perspective, it was actually, for the most part.
100%.
It was a doubles guy.
Yeah, right, but he changed, obviously, and then that was the springboard. This front office needs to make, I'd rather them make their decision, meaning let them choose, not the opponents or the other team saying, hey, we want Vientos or we want Beatty. It shouldn't be, okay, well, which one's going to bring back more value? I know that that's a part of it, but I would rather Stearns and his front office identify saying, we believe there's more value in Beatty, whether it's a lefty bat, whether it's versatility, maybe eventually playing him in the outfield. Who knows? That was something they were working out. He could play some third, he could play some second, and there's been enough offensive, at least potential, shown where you could think he could be a viable major leaguer. Whereas with Vientos, his ceiling was through the roof. We saw it a year ago offensively. But we also know the floor could also be a total bust where there's a long swing and there's prolonged slumps and he doesn't have a position.
Yep.
There is no versatility. Ultimately, he is a DH. So they have to make a decision knowing that, hey, this guy can hit, yes, but we'll make up for that elsewhere. We just want to bring in a better fit for us, potentially, let's say, in Luis Roberts. I don't know if that's going to be the exact trade. I just know that the Mets need to be decisive, and they need to do it now, right or wrong, down the road. They need to make a decision on trading one of these guys.
I got to be honest with you. I think the Mets fans should feel really good right now. I know that was a tough loss. It was a late night. I get all that stuff. But just big picture, if you think about what teams need, right? And the teams that are, you know, that have a chance to get to the World Series. And obviously the Mets are there. And the Yankees are there, but that's obviously decaying by the day. But from a Met perspective, you've got three good starters. So you think about team needs for teams that have a chance to get to and win a World Series. Well, the Mets don't need to do something cavalier to get a front of the rotation guy. They've got that. They've already got that.
They have the true ace.
I know, I understand that, but not many teams have the true ace, and I can make, even though Senga's got to get his act together.
Mania could get there, maybe.
Yeah. I also think that the strength in numbers, like when you look at Mania and Senga and Peterson, 1, 2, 3, they might not have a legit, you know, Hall of Fame ace, but I do think that the depth of their top three might be better or could be or is better than a lot of the other good teams in baseball. So what I'm saying is the Mets don't need to do something wacky to get a stud starter. They got enough. They don't need to do something crazy to get a closer. They got one.
Right.
Let's just sweat a little bit, but Diaz is awesome. And the Mets don't have to do anything stupid or reckless or short-sighted to bolster the middle of their order, even though not everybody's hitting right now, but they got a couple of stud horses. So what the Mets are, Met to me right now, Sal, the Mets should be and are, number one, operating from a position of power.
Correct.
And number two, they should be operating with great clarity. They have most of the things that they need. Most.
Right.
So I think they're in a good spot.
And we know the clear needs, like you mentioned, another bullpen arm. And by the way, we're not even mentioning some of the younger guys who can contribute, maybe not now.
Mm-hmm. But the pitchers?
Correct.
Yeah, Sprouts and those guys.
Yeah,
I agree.
Down the stretch, you bring up one or two of those guys, they could be difference makers maybe out of the bullpen in the postseason and elevate you even further there. So there's some insurance there or there's some other potential to take them to another level. They clearly need a center fielder, and they also have a overabundance or a gluttony of infielders right now. They need to figure out which one to move. That's why Vientos' name came up. You have to give to get. It would make sense to make the pieces fit a little bit better. If the White Sox like Vientos and you can get Robert and maybe a bullpen arm back and talk about Vassell or whatever, pick one of the arms from the
Sox. Bring Vassell back. I heard that yesterday too.
Or whatever. Like there's just options there, and Vientos can be a piece. But I know what's going to happen. And this is why it's important to bring it up, and we'll get to the calls in a second. 888-808-1019. Because fans are reacting to what they see in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do the same thing, like last year, the idea of trading Vientos would have been, you can't trade Vientos now. Before the year, it was, this guy's worthless. During the year, it's, he's untouchable.
Yep.
And then during the start of this year, it's like, man, what's going on with Vientos? And then his name gets brought up in trade rumors. It's like, oh, I don't know, the offensive potential. Then he hits a grand slam last night, should have had two home runs. And now it's like, oh, no, you can't trade him. And while fans and we can be irrational and overreact, the front office cannot. They should not let Vientos' grand slam or his little offensive outburst now starting to get hot a little bit change their thinking on him. They should know or believe what they think he is as a player to a point where if they don't believe he fits their plans now or in the future and they can get a better fit, better piece, like a center fielder or a bullpen arm, then they should make that move.
I have no doubts that I just can't prove this, but I do think Stearns knows what he's doing. And they didn't draft Vientos. And it doesn't mean that you can't wind up marrying somebody you didn't draft and develop, whatever. I think that he sees the flaws that we all see with Vientos. Stearns is a catch the ball kind of guy, run the bags kind of guy, give quality at bats kind of guy. And to me, Vientos doesn't check enough of those boxes. I'm not saying there's no appeal, because when he's on, he's a needle mover in terms of the offense. But to me, at this point, just about mid-20s, a couple of different spurts, he's up, he's down. He's up in terms of the majors and the minors. He's up as a success. He's down.
Yeah.
I think you kind of know what he is, and I think that inconsistency is probably going to propel the Mets to try to trade him for something to make them better this year.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Greg is in Mayapack starting us off. What's up, Greg?
Thanks for taking the call, guys. I've been listening to this for the last couple of days. Vientos being the one. Number one, Marte is not going to be here next year. He gets hurt. If Marte takes a vigorous leak, he gets hurt. Number two, you got Alonso, who might opt out, who probably will opt out. Vientos did one thing that these other kids have not done, and when the light got bright in October, he kicked butt. So now he's starting to show it again. This is not the guy to get rid of. Baby, I could go with that. So you have Mauricio, you have at third base, you have Acuda play in second base. Center field, McNeil and Taylor, you got to live with it, guys. They're not going to be able to get everything at the trade.
Hold on, buddy. Let me just jump in. Why do you have to live with it? I mean, hold on. To me, living with a combination of McNeil in center and Nimmo in left in the playoffs is a disaster waiting to happen. Not that they're not going to swing the bat. They are. But where defense is at a premium, that's not good enough. Left and center? There's no way.
But BT, yes. They need another closer. They need an actual, not somebody's setup man with a 6 ERA that the lab is going to fix.
Okay.
They need somebody's actual closer to go with Diaz.
But Greg, they should be able to get both, and thank you for the call. Good stuff there out of the gate. They should be able to get both. A high leverage, he doesn't have to be a closer, but Bednar from the Pirates, whatever. A high leverage, trusted reliever. They should be able to get that, plus a center fielder. Whether it's Robert, whether it's Bader, like whatever. They need an actual center fielder, because you can't go with this combination and expect to win a World Series. You're right. Especially with Nimmo and left and Soto and right. Like, you need a real center fielder who could cover some ground out there.
That might be the worst defensive outfield in baseball for any good team. If you think about Soto, and Soto's not horrible, but
He's fine, but he's
had moments where he's obviously, he's a little bit wobbly, but he's fairly solid and right.
Cover a lot of ground though, and Nimmo on the other corner's not going to cover.
And he's got no arm. Saw the throw home last night. It's up the line. It's a two hopper. It's it's basically short by 10, 12 feet. And Nimmo's been hitting well, and he's going to play hard. He always does. But and McNeil's actually quit himself well in center.
Fine.
But what I'm saying is that's going to pop up the most inopportune time. Like, to me, you can get away with some regular season stuff. You're in October where every out's a premium. You can't give somebody 28th out. You misread one ball. You know, here comes the tying run. Here comes the winning run. I think that that's fairly untenable, that left and center combination defensively. But the other advantage, you know, in October for the Mets, the other advantage the Mets have, we haven't really brought this up in a while, why can't they do what they did a couple of years ago when they bought a farm system? So one of the great advantages, if you don't want to give up Vientos or Mauricio or Beatty or whatever, well, incentivize the team to give you what you want by, you know, not only taking the player that you want, say Robert, but maybe somebody else that they're looking to dump money
take
on.
More
so
contract,
that there you
right.
go.
Right. Here's the thing. The Mets need, regardless of what the return is, they need to clear out the log jam that they have with those three guys.
A lot of bodies on this roster.
Correct. And not to mention the younger guys potentially that are coming up.
Yep.
So they have to make a decision on Beatty and Vientos. And me, like, I understand Greg's point, and I guarantee there are going to be a lot more Mets fans or callers saying, hey, you can't give up on Vientos. Because his offensive potential, we already saw it.
Yeah, I know.
Saw it in the biggest spots. Yeah. So you know that that's far greater than anything that Beatty has done and maybe could do. But is the return plus the versatility, like maybe the other teams value Vientos' offensive potential because they see it as well, more than Beatty. So the return can be better plus Beatty's versatility might be more useful to the Mets. I'm just saying, like, I get the appeal. And we talked about this yesterday. A part of me believes that Beatty can go somewhere else and be a productive big leaguer for the next 10 to 15 years.
Would it stun you if you hit 270 with 18 home runs and 76 RBIs for the Rangers next year?
No. Solid, or the Astros apparently. Like
whatever. Just throw a team.
Yeah, just a solid big leaguer.
Yep.
The difference is there's like, okay, the medium where, okay, we know what we're going to get from here. The guy's going to have a 750 OPS, he'll hit 250, whatever. He'd just be a solid big leaguer that can play a little second, play a little third, maybe play a little outfield. The Vientos fluctuation is he can be a guy that's going to hit 280 and hit you 30 plus home runs and be an impact bat, but he does not have a position. And again, the return might be more significant right now. Maybe the White Sox, I'm just throwing this out there, I don't know. Maybe the White Sox say, okay, you could have Robert and a bullpen arm. We want Vientos, not Beatty. So maybe that's part of it. I don't know. Now, the report was that the Mets were seemingly more willing to move Vientos.
As they should be.
Yeah. Well, certainly over Mauricio. I would not touch Mauricio. The other two, I'm fine whichever one they pick to move on from.
I think that the fans, and it is going to be a time, I'm looking forward to a lot of these calls here today because it's tough, because emotionally you're connected to what Vientos gave you last October. You've seen it. Everybody else is a little, you know, hey, piece it together, and he could be this, and he could be that, and Mauricio could be this, and that guy could do that. I think that the fans will be fairly split, maybe even gravitating a little bit more to Vientos. I think the Mets have already made up their mind. They have much more value for Mauricio over Vientos than they should.
And by the way, just for the record, and this is actual stuff that I've heard over years, multiple regimes, for whatever reason, not high on Vientos.
Maybe it's a lack of work ethic. I mean, you don't come out in April jog down the first base line twice and get called out by your manager and your captain shortstop. You know, when you're 24 years old, if you're wound the right way, maybe they don't like his makeup.
That was a thing back with Buck.
Yeah.
And now, remember, that's a different regime.
But then
you're hearing similar things now. And the report, forget about even what you're hearing, the report was that the Mets are likely to move Vientos of the trio. So there's something there where multiple regimes willing to move on from him. All right, we'll get back to your calls here. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Just getting started on this Tuesday morning. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Messi.
Yeah, exactly. To see Messi. It was a messy night. Not only he scored two goals, but just a disaster with the traffic. Anyway, Nick from the Red Bull Arena works in concessions over there.
Okay.
I told him I'd give him a shout out because he's a big listener. Said, oh, love you and BT every day. The last thing I thought I would get at the soccer game, but there we go. So Nick was like, oh, please give me a shout out. There you go, Nick.
All right, Nick, we got you.
Told him I was on vacation. So Nick from Red Bull Arena, shout out to him right
there.
What
was he selling? Sausage, beer? What was he doing?
I forget.
Surfside, what was he hammering out?
He was right. He might have. It was either sausage or beer because it was right there. I think it might have been beer, but it was right behind my seats. I didn't buy anything from him.
Yeah.
I just saw him there. So
there
really
go.
Nice guy.
Thanks, Nick.
It really is a nice venue over there.
Beautiful.
Anyway, so back to the task at hand here. We were just talking about this off the air. Like, I don't have a strong, I hate to even admit this, I don't have a strong feel one way or another on Vientos. I did a year ago. Then he went nuts. And I was a believer in him, so much so that, like, he was one of the guys I was relying on. Oh, yeah, you want to let Alonso go, so be it. You got Vientos emerging. And I don't know what to believe anymore with him. other than I'm trying to go back to my basics on it, all the stuff that we heard about leading up to last year, prior to him going nuts, and then knowing with my own eyes, like, dude, you can't have a young player that doesn't have a position. Like, I know the Mets are going to need a DH, and you could argue they need one right now, which is why I'd be hesitant to make the move, and you're not just giving them away. It's got to be the right move. We also don't know what the return is. Mm-hmm. Like, are you telling me that the Mets could get Robert, and if they can't give up Vientos, then they can't Robert? You know what I mean? Like, uh-huh. We don't know all of that. So I would be hesitant to give up on his offensive potential, but they need to make a decision. And I also don't love the fact that he's not versatile. So it is a tough call with Mark.
Well, it's a tough call, but honestly, it's these kind of decisions, even more so than, you know, landing a great free agent. And Soto's obviously was a different element of, for so many different reasons, but... You know, like the Yankees getting freed or any other free agents. Like, to me, this is generally what separates a good franchise eventually from becoming a great franchise. Like, you want to talk about the ability to read something downstream, you got to make a tough call. I mean, anybody could sit there and say, wow, this dude's got an 890 OPS, and he doesn't strike out that much, and he's got a 25% walk rate, and he can run, and he can play three or four positions. Yeah, we like this player. Well, no kidding, because everything on the diamond, I'm not talking about Vientos in general, because everybody could see with two eyes, or even one eye, Cyclops could see that this guy's a good ball player. The tougher call is somebody who was kind of... like held down, and there was just a lack of belief in Vientos early. He fought through it, so you had to respect that perseverance. Then he got to October, he went absolutely bonkers, but then right away the next spring he kind of reinforced what the team thought about him for a while.
Right.
So it's this kind of a determination that to me is going to really determine how great David Stearns is.
Right, and that's why...
at the end of the day.
These are the tough decisions. We'll get to the Yankees coming up at 11 o'clock. There's a lot there, too. But I want to avoid, if I'm the Mets, what the Yankees are going through with their indecision and the going back and forth with Spencer Jones. Oh, he's great. Oh, he's a bust. Oh, he's great. Oh, should we sell? Should we buy? Soft sell? Like, I don't know what the hell these things are. We'll get to the Yankees coming up.
Some of these terms are just... it's ridiculous. I can't stand these terms.
It's ridiculous.
Soft buyers.
Yeah, what the hell? I don't even know what the hell that means.
Talk to us like we're humans.
Yeah, so, wow.
I mean,
they don't.
I don't know that the Yankees. Andy had reported that, right? Was that actually a Yankee word? Soft buyers. We'll do the Yankees
headline.
Later.
Yeah,
soft buyers, though. Come on.
You said talk to us like we're humans, right? Did I tell you what I renamed my pool robot?
No,
because you might have been on vacation. For that
what do you got? Wait, can I guess?
Yeah.
What was the robot in Rocky?
No.
Happy birthday, Paulie.
I forget.
That thing?
I forget, but
it's not that thing.
So, you know, like the pool vacuum
robot?
Yeah,
of course, yeah.
It was blue, so I called it Ranger at first, but then I was thinking.
Yeah, I'm not going to like this, am I? It's got to be an anti-Yankee thing, isn't it?
It's not anti-Yankee.
What is it?
Booney.
He's such an ass. Why?
You know, my pool robot. I punch it in when I want it to do. Cleaning mode, okay, give me 2 hours. I punch it in, it cleans the lanes. It listens to the data.
So basically what you're saying is he does the job. That's Booney, what you're saying.
Correct.
There you go.
Booney does the job.
He does the job.
I named it after our favorite manager.
He's definitely my favorite. He's our favorite. Is the pool dirty? No. Are there leaves? No. Is there enough, what are those white tablets? Well, I'm forgetting what you call
chlorine,
those things. Is the chlorine good?
Yeah.
Yes. Is the alkaline level good? Yeah, Booney's doing his job.
We got to get Booney.
Lay off Booney.
Listen,
we're sensitive over here. Don't start attacking everybody with these Yankees. Good God, last night was gross. Unwatchable with the Yankees last night. So boring.
Total bore. 888-808. We'll get to them coming up in about 28 minutes. 888-808-1019. Back to the Mets, or at least the Mets and the Yankees. Peter in Wanacue. What's up, Peter?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I'm bringing up a point that, quite honestly, I was going to bring up last week, but I couldn't get through. BT was inundated while you were out, Sal, and I never seen BT so emotional, but he was pretty upset about the Yankees and the errors. So I wanted to bring up, do you think there's a possibility that the Yankees and the Mets would ever make a trade? Yankees have a lot of DH players, Stanton, maybe even Grisham, for one of the third basemen.
Well, I don't think it's a good fit, Peter, and thank you for the call. From the Yankees' perspective, let's just use Vientos, right? Mm-hmm. He's the talking point. What are the Yankees going to do with Vientos?
Not much. Not at this point, no.
Yeah, he's a young player with offensive potential. Great, so mm-hmm. It would be appealing to a lot of teams. I think the Yankees would be the last of the teams. He's not an everyday third baseman, and the Yankees need defense. So Vientos is not bringing
this
that.
This guy McMahon.
Yeah,
and he's under contract for a couple of years.
So the Yankees needed a third baseman. They no longer need a third baseman.
Yeah.
Now, you want to say that maybe Beatty could be a better fit than McMahon? Cheaper, you know, lefty bat, still potential there. All right, he's not as good as a defensive player as McMahon is.
But I think he was more interested in getting your opinion if you think that the Yanks or the Mets would ever do a deal of significance. Because I remember that call. I remember talking about, like, Rafael Santana played for the Yanks or the Mets, and Neil Allen, a couple of guys, did not many trades. But do you think, because I don't, especially, now the Mets might, but why I don't think the Yankees would is it's just, it's a different shine with the Mets. And I think that the Yankees are very aware, you know, with the Soto stuff and not giving them something that might actually help them win the World Series. I don't think the Yankees would. Mets might. Yankees wouldn't.
Here's why I don't know if it's a fit now. Yes, pieces-wise, the Yankees have some players that the Mets could use, specifically Grisham. Or you want to throw in Bellinger. I mean, if the Yankees are going to throw Bellinger out there.
Yeah, we can't give you Belly. That's too much
I'm
for
just
you.
Saying, like, if
I can't see Belly in that lineup.
Those are clear players that the Mets can use right now and become better. Bellinger would be the home run.
Bellinger's phenomenal. Yeah, he's such a good baseball player.
And Grisham would be an upgrade and a cheaper center fielder. My response, and we had this yesterday, like, what do the Mets have that the Yankees would want? What are the Yankees looking for?
It takes Brodo off your hands.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Some young pitching, which the Mets would never do.
Yeah.
Not for Grisham, certainly. I mean, maybe for Bellinger, it would.
But even if it worked out, I still don't think that, given where the teams are and the history with Soto, even though I know that Cohen and Hal are friendly, I just don't think that they would ever do a deal.
Like a big trade?
I don't think they would, no. No.
But a trade, like, trades have happened.
And I wouldn't want that's where I would draw the line for me. Like, I'm not giving, like, listen, I'm giving the Mets the praise, and I always will when they do well. I'm not giving the Mets an asset to go win a World Series. Take a hike.
You know what's weird?
Hey, Mets, I'm not giving you anything.
You know
nothing.
You know what's weird, BT? This is the first time I feel like the Mets are on the other side of it.
Exactly.
Forever it was, no way, I'm not giving the Yankees something to go help them win a World Series.
Correct.
You're going to pair off these pieces, trade them anywhere but the Yankees.
Yeah, I know.
And now this year, it's like, we can use Grisham.
It's not a bad seat, is it, right? I mean, pretty much front table.
I like
front table at rails. Welcome. Party of one, Sal.
BT and Sal, the fan, Manny, is calling from New York. What's up, Manny?
Hey, guys. Love the show. First of all, thanks for streaming on YouTube. Big help.
Yeah, we love that. Yeah, by the way,
what?
You were out when we launched this here, so now the entire show, one sec, man, we'll let you go, obviously. The entire show, not just the clips and the shorts and the open that the entire station has, and our team does a phenomenal job with, now the entire show, so you got to watch what you do with the hand gestures. Everything is up there. YouTube.
Really?
Yeah, YouTube, WFAN, there's a whole comment section. That should be fun.
Well, somebody going to tell
awesome.
Me about this?
Not really.
So we're on YouTube the whole show? What about during the breaks?
Even during breaks?
No, not during breaks.
Okay,
not during breaks.
No, thank God. No.
Anyway, go ahead, man.
It is a good look, though. People are enjoying it.
Okay, I got 2 points. First, the umpires. It's crazy that they have unchecked power still. Like, we need to bring this this auto run.
Tell me about it. Now. These umpires are tough.
Yeah. It's straight up egregious.
Second, hey, finally, you got it.
I'm sorry. That's a good one.
Go ahead, Manny.
Second, on McNeil, there's no way to actually prove this, but I feel like he doesn't cut off balls well in center field. He allows a lot of times runners to stretch singles into doubles, extra base.
Yeah.
There's no way to actually prove this in center field. But
well, you can with sprint speed, and then you can try to correlate that to going to get a ball in the gap. He's not lightning fast. That's why he's not a center fielder. You know, but he's competent. But you're going to see those, and thanks for the call, Manny, you're going to see those little, you know, nuances of the game. When you're a trained center fielder, it's, you know, the angle, the burst, I mean, the sheer, you know, speed is a little different. McNeil's not slow.
Right.
You know, at all. He's definitely not slow, but he's not, you know, he's not like, Taylor's got a different pace to him. Grisham's got a different pace.
He's been fine, maybe better than fine.
I think he has been better than fine.
More than serviceable in center field.
Yes.
You need a real center fielder.
Yes, you do.
And I'm sorry for not getting that.
That's all good.
It was a great line because I'm texting with or tweeting with Joe DiMeo here.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to just get some info because I was looking up Vientos' contract situation.
He's got to be, what, 2 years probably?
Well,
three?
So he's pre-arbitration next year.
Next year.
And then arbitration year one the following year. So DiMeo says 4 years after this one. I trust him with all this info. So,
that's good controllability. That's appealing to a team.
100%.
No
so
question.
This is why I wanted to get this, because I knew he was under control. But when you talk about 4 years,
yeah,
with a player that has already shown his offensive potential in 1 year, in the postseason,
yeah,
no less.
Yeah.
Dude, that's an asset. That is a valuable asset, which is why in Andy's reporting, it was very clear to say the Mets are not looking to dump Vientos or give him away. That would maybe be the piece that they would be willing to part with in a big move. Now, I don't know if that's the robber trade. Think about this. Are you going to trade a player that's basically you're getting for free and under team control for the next 4 years after this year for a guy who next year you have an option to pay $20 million in Luis Robert? Like, that's a big money difference. When you start getting into, you have to evolve with the sport. I don't care about the young players. Give me the win now players. Let's go. But with the luxury tax being a thing, obviously it is a thing. Like you said,
there's no question.
The Yankees and Mets may not really care about it, but there are some.
Hal's aware of it. He's told us.
There are restrictions there. So when you start talking about bringing on players that may be better but also cost more versus a younger player with Vientos offensive potential that are for free and under control for 4 years.
Yes.
Like that, it's got to be. They're not going to give Vientos away. You've got to be getting something back that's big.
Listen, I agree with that. Vientos, I'm going to boil it down this way. Like his strength is, you know, he does hit the ball hard, and when he's on a heater, he can carry a team for a couple weeks. Like he actually can. I'm going to give him that. I think it's just, and he's cheap, which is a tremendous asset, especially somebody like the White Sox trying to reset things and a few other teams, Pirates, whatever. I do think that it depends what kind of team you're trying to build. Like, I almost think Vientos has more of a Yankee profile. Not a great fielder, not good on the bases, intermittent power. Like, to me, and if I was building a team, I'm not saying that there's no value there because he was great last October. Right. But again, I don't think Stearns values that. I think he wants somebody more well-rounded.
Also, let me ask you, would you want, because the Mets are going to need a DH, if not right now, certainly by next year, would you lock up the DH spot the way the Yankees have with, say, a Stanton type in Vientos? Now, I know he's a little more versatile than Stanton, who can't do anything other than occasionally hit.
I wouldn't do that. You know why? Because I think as the Mets move forward, now you're talking about for multiple years, like a veteran for a couple years, obviously.
Well, whatever, just have him be there. He's their DH.
Oh, mean him do it?
Well, because he would be their DH. You could say anybody, but in this particular case, Vientos' future with the Mets is as a DH.
Yeah, right. I would rather trade him than do that and get something for this year.
Especially for a young player.
Yeah, he's got to play. You got to let him eat a little bit.
Do you want to lock that spot up, especially with Soto?
Well, that's where I was going. Yeah. That's why I started to go there. Yeah. Like, you know, Lindor plays every day, but he's not 25 anymore.
Nimmo.
I am, 32, 33 for Nimmo. You know, Alvarez.
Always hurt. Like, would Nimmo maybe get him, keep him fresh, have him DH?
Well, think about this. Yeah. If Alvarez, who continues to look pretty good since he came back, if Alvarez really starts banging, he's not going to catch 162 games. And if he's the bat that he was a few years ago and he hit 25 home runs, you can use him as a DH. So I would not do that with Vientos. No. Yankees hot and heavy at 11. They're a mess right now. I saw a stat. The Yankees have had three straight losing Julys. For the first time in 30 years. Three straight Julys where they've had losing records.
So 23, 24 in this year.
Yeah.
I was trying to think real quick because 22... Which was the
22 was the Astros series when they won
right, so that was
100
the year,
games, like 1-on-1.
That was they started out on fire, they fell off a little bit. So not that year, though. They had a winning July that year. Okay.
No, with tonight's loss, this is obviously from last night. The Yankees have clinched a losing record in July for a third straight season. Before that, 30 straight years without posting a losing record in July.
Dude, we did it last night on Baseball Night in New York. The Yankees have since June 13th, since the Friday night that they were in Fenway.
Yeah, that's where it all.
They got swept that Monday. We came in and I was like, dude, I'd be worried. Like, I wasn't that worried.
Yeah, I love the base running, but we're good.
Now, to be fair, you would say, well, it's just.
I wasn't
that
bothered by it.
To be fair, I did not think that they would go in the tank, but they have the fifth go prior to the loss last night. Prior to, they have the fifth worst record in baseball since June 13th. That is, like, there's the Yankees. They're there with the Rockies and the Marlins or whatever the crappy teams. Dude, the fifth worst record in the sport since June 13th?
It's a common theme. And again, we'll do them coming up later. But I don't know why they start well every year. Because if you're not a good team, you should never start off well. Like, there's just, it's got to be a little deeper than the hot starts, the two-month malaise, and then a little regeneration at the end. Well, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Right, it was the exact same thing a year ago. Anyway, we're not going to talk about the Yankees now. We're going to talk about them in about 10 minutes. We keep saying that, and we keep talking about the Yankees. Gomez calling from Riverdale. What's up, Gomez?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you. You guys are my sports therapist right now, and I'm more of an emotional sports fan. But so my question is, why can we bring back Bader, right? Why can we bring back Soriano? And then maybe we can send Vientos to the Athletics, get Denzel Clark possibly, get a bullpen arm, get Severiano back, and just pay money for Bader to come back.
Who back? Who was the second part? Severino you're talking about?
Yes,
Severino.
Yeah.
Bader.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
you could.
I don't know if I want all those guys back. And thanks for the call, Gomez. I'm not sure you want to bring back Iglesias as well. Like, I'm not chasing last year. Severino, to me, would have been fine as another depth piece in the rotation. But is he a difference maker at this point?
I don't think you need Severino. I like your starting staff.
That's what I'm saying.
Honestly.
But you could use, you like the staff, as do I. But, you know, knock on wood here. What if one of them, something happens, whether it's Mania with the loose bodies in the elbow, whether it's Sango, who's always banged up.
Like, call up a kid at that point.
Okay, well, that was the answer. So, like, I just want to know the plan for that. Ben, is it going to be Sproat or any of the other, Nolan McClain, Jonah
Wright.
Tom, whatever. I don't know if those guys are going to come up and be ready to start. I was thinking more bullpen, but that's why I'm saying even a depth piece, not Paul Blackburn himself, but maybe somebody like that or a little bit better, just like a serviceable, hey, give us five innings, let's get to the pen. To me, the priority has to be the bullpen. It's always been, and it will be until they address it. They need at least, to me, one more high-leverage arm, probably really two high-leverage arms.
I'd be surprised if two more come because Soto's already here. Definitely one. You're going to get at least one. I got to push back a little bit, though, and you're not the only one who've said this here. You and I have actually kind of talked around it before we all went on vacation, so it's come up before. I just think it's dangerous. Like, you take one of these kids and you call them up and you give them a different role. To me, if you're going to call Sproat to help out, it's going to be for a spot start. To me, I'm not taking a kid who's trying to figure out the major leagues and get major league hitters out and now, by the way, throw a curveball. And in terms of a new routine, I want to make it a seamless transition. The transition is tough enough with the best hitters in the world.
But Stearns has done this before, and we've seen it work. And to me, the one prime example that comes to mind is David Price when he did it with the Rays when he first came up, where he burst onto the scene as a rookie in the postseason. What was it, 2009?
That was the 2009 World Series against Phillies. No, 2008. 9 was obviously Yankees.
Yeah,
08.
Exactly, 2008.
LaGoria, that team.
Yeah, yep. So my point is that we've seen this work before, and Stearns has done this with the Brewers, work some of the younger pitchers in. Later in the year, like, in theory, I'm with you. It's why I wouldn't move Clay Holmes back to the bullpen. I know that's been a thing. Like,
see, hey, that I would, because he's already done it.
I know, but now they stretch him out to be a starter this year. Yeah. Look, they could do it, I guess. Once you make a decision on these guys, and now working Holmes back from, you know, from being a good reliever into building him up to being a starter, I'm not so sure I'm going to, the same year, just push him back to the bullpen after trying to transition. With the younger guys, now you got to make sure that you tell them, hey, don't go out there and try to throw the ball through the wall.
Good luck getting who's making his major league debut with everybody watching.
Yeah, I get it, but those guys could be valuable weapons.
Yeah, no, I know they could. But I would feel better with Holmes going back to a role that he's already knows, if they even have to do this, rather than taking a kid and completely changing what he does, his routine.
Well, Leary calling from Bergenfield. What's up, Leary?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? BT, last week you were the one that broke the Hulk Hogan news for me, man. Mm. Brutal. I took it a lot harder than I really thought I ever would, to be honest.
It still hurts. I got to tell you, Lear, Sam and I were talking during the break. I was watching WrestleMania 5 last night with my son, who's obviously young. He doesn't love wrestling, but he's getting into it a little bit. And it's like, it's still with me, too. There has not been a day that I have not popped on a little Hogan YouTube just for a little bit.
It's everywhere. Reading the clips or watching the clips on social media, reading stuff about it. They did a tribute last night on Monday Night Raw where Nick Hogan was there. They did the 10-bell salute. It's hard to believe he's actually gone.
I couldn't agree more, guys. It's a tough loss for Americana. But one point I wanted to bring up. Yesterday was one of the darkest days in MLB umpiring history, I think. First off, what I saw in the Mets and Padres game was a disgrace. And I am all against robo-umps, but now I'm starting to warm up and open up to the idea. I also don't know if you guys saw, I think it was the Blue Jays and Orioles last night. I mean, there was one right down the pipe. And this guy called it a ball. I mean, what kind of quality umpires are we getting here?
Well, those are two different things. I did not see the call that you referenced in the Toronto game. I'll take your word for it. These umpires stink. And I will say they're also very fooled by the catchers, who are so adept. The way they frame balls, we make it seem like it's really easy. Now, it's also their job, so figure it the hell out at this point and stop getting, you know, fooled by these catchers who are framing. But last night's umpire with the Mets-Padres game, I mean, that guy's got to get a grip. The way he was just eyeballing, they missed the first at bat in particular, that high slider from Dylan Cease, which was a ball, and they rung up Soto.
That was brutal.
That was horrendous. Yeah. That was one of the worst calls I've seen to Soto or any Yankee or Met all year, actually. It was egregiously high. It was horrible. But then how he was baiting him. Did you see him just staring at him for like 7 or 8 seconds, like staring at him? waiting for him to just say one thing. Your job is to defuse, not elevate. And these umpires haven't gotten the memo lately. It's ridiculous.
The one thing I would say specifically.
Literally two.
Yeah. The one thing I would say. Well, you know, you and umpires, BT.
Yeah, right.
The one thing I would say about last night's ump with Soto, I thought that he could have. Now, obviously, I'm not hearing what's being said. Soto didn't back away.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the ump, if he did have a short fuse or a quick trigger, could have tossed Soto. Now, Mendy came out the perfect time.
Good job by Mendy.
He took the bullet. Yeah. But at least, and even if the ump, and Gary Cohen referenced it, oh, what's the ump doing walking, you know, with, but it was the other ump. It was the third base ump,
correct.
I think it was, going down the line. So at least the ump didn't throw Soto out. If he did that, that would have been a disaster. Now, the actual calls, which is the biggest issue, that can be fixed with the tap in the helmet and you go into the ABS system or whatever. But even that, there are going to be limitations.
It's going to be one per bat, I believe. You can't do it every pitch.
So it's one per night. But it is one per at bat.
That's my understanding. In the minor leagues, the experimental phases, I believe it's one per at bat.
Now, I would like to see them implement that sooner than later, and I can't believe I'm even saying that.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you don't want to see the postseason get screwed up by bad calls. But you and I, when we initially were discussing this, was like, good, because it's going to eliminate the bullcrap cheating with the framing. And it might not, because if it's only one pitch per at bat, I guarantee these guys are still going to be taught then to try to steal pitches.
Well, that would be for the challenge, but eventually when it goes to the system, the framing wouldn't supersede that.
So that's different than the ABS challenge system.
To my knowledge, it is.
All right.
I'll pick that up after. I'm going to jot it down. Something about umps. We'll get to it after. Yeah. It's all good.
You get to Hoff saying two challenges per game.
Oh, is it two? Oh, really?
Yeah, it'd be either the pitcher, the catcher, or the hitter, but as a team, you could do two challenges per game.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
You got to be very judicious.
Otherwise, you challenge everything.
Well, no, but if you're Juan Soto and you want to challenge it, then what does that mean? Alonso can't, you know?
It's placement. That's part of this whole thing too.
Well,
this is a bigger conversation.
I'm sure he's reading it from somewhere, so I believe him. But it's like if I'm Soto and I have a keen sense of the strike zone, and I'm like, that's definitely a ball, but Mendoza's like, nah, it's a little bit early. Let's not do it. I'm like, no, it's a ball. I want to review that pitch.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It always sounds great, and then the implementation of it is going to be a whole nother level of a potential mess. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get to the Yankees. We'll get back to your Mets calls as well and the Vientos stuff. Should they trade him? Should they keep him? 888-808-1019. But the Yankees talk coming up next.